So let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1, for our communion message. So we will resume our study of Hebrews next Sunday morning, Lord willing, in chapter 2. I'm not going to make any predictions at my pace for chapter 2, so we'll see. I have all the time, I have a whole year to get through Hebrews chapter 2. All right, so... But we are in the first paragraph of Hebrews chapter 1, and my title for this is Communion, Creator of All Things. So we're using these phrases in the first section of Hebrews as our communion theme, and today it is Creator of All Things. So here's the passage. We're going to go ahead and read the first four verses once again, and you'll see that I've highlighted the part that we'll focus on for today. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. So he is the focus of the book of Hebrews, and here in this description we find things that describe about him. Our title, as I mentioned, is Creator of All Things. We should emphasize, however, that the focus of this phrase and our message is on Christ and not on creation as such. I have a quote here from David Allen in his commentary on Hebrews. He says, "The point is not our comprehension of the divine act of creation, but our apprehension of the true nature of the Son." And I think he's right there. It's who the Son is. That's what matters. Our meditation today should enhance our love for the Son of God. It should also motivate living lives in submission to him. I don't really have a proposition as such. So we'll start with our first point, the teaching about the Son in creation. So first of all, there are several passages that teach about the Son as Creator, including the one that we have just read. But let's look at some of the others. So John 1, verse 3, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So there is no created thing that has come into being. This is such an important part of the doctrine. Jesus is not, the Son is not a created being. He always is. That's very, very important. So critical. And then in Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And so here we have not just the visible, but the invisible as well. So the angels and the fallen angels and the whole spiritual realm is also created by him. All things have been created through him and for him. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6, For us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. So again, we see that emphasis being played out here in that passage. One more, Romans 11:36, from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Now, notice again and again the phrase, all things. John underscores it in his gospel, apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. We discussed that already. There is no doubt that the New Testament teaches that our Lord Jesus is the creator of all things. This is a fundamental aspect of the teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's unambiguous. It's not something that the New Testament hesitates about. It's not something that it puts in obscure poetic language that is undiscernible. It plainly states All things were made by Him. There's nothing that is ambiguous. Jesus is identified in the New Testament as the Creator. Now, we want to recall some statements about creation from the Old Testament. Speaking to God, of old you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. So he's speaking about God. We haven't had anywhere near a full revelation of the Trinity in the Old Testament. So we're just speaking about God here. And then we have another one that comes from Nehemiah, quite dramatic, Nehemiah 9:6. You alone are the Lord. That capitals, all capitals there, is represents the Hebrew word, what's called, theologians call it the tetragrammaton. It means it has four letters. Tetra, four grammaton letters. Okay? The tetragrammaton. You alone are the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh. You have made the heavens, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all that is in it, is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to all of them, and the heavenly host bows down before you. You alone, the Lord. So no one else is the Lord. There's only one Lord. Okay, this is very important teaching in the Bible. There's only one Lord. And only the Lord created all things. No one else did it. So the only one conclusion can be drawn. When we consider the teaching of the Son in creation, this is one of those aspects of the New Testament doctrine that clearly lays out for us a divine nature for the Son of God. He is uncreated. He is the Creator. And only Yahweh, only Jehovah is the Creator. What does this teach us? The teaching is, the teaching of creation, the teaching about the Son, is that indeed, this Son and this Father and then the Spirit are one being. There's not three gods, one being. That's the teaching of the Bible. We don't understand it. We can't comprehend it, but we believe it because that's what the Bible teaches. So the teaching of the Son, the teaching about the Son in creation, that's the first thing that we observe, flowing from our phrase that speaks about Him through whom also He made the world. Now, the scope of the Son's work in creation is the second thing in our statement. We talked about all things here and emphasized that in several verses. But what do we mean by all things? What do we mean by all things? Well, we naturally think about the physical universe. We think about the people who live here on the earth. Ultimately, all people are created by the Son. We think about the vast expanses of our earth, the many miles. I don't know, have any of you traveled across Canada all the way to Halifax by land without going into the States? Has anybody taken that trip? Okay. Oh, you have, Rosemary. Good. Okay, some of you. Now, and Texas, yeah. Okay, so I have never made it to the furthest east I've been in Canada is I drove around the block in Hull, Quebec once. And so I could say I've been in Quebec. I was only there the one time. And that's the furthest east I've been. But I've been all the way across, and it takes like you could do it faster, but it takes about 5 or 6 days to get all the way across from this corner all the way down to South Carolina, almost to the East Coast, that we've taken that trip several times. All right, so that's, you think of the miles that you pass, miles upon miles of miles upon miles. It's an incredibly large area of the earth, but that's only a little bit of it. It's only three time zones. There's 24 of them. Right? And to go all the way around the world. So all things includes that whole planet, includes everything. And we think about the seas and all that is in them. And I am a real land lover. I have no desire whatsoever to go out on a boat where I cannot see land. I have no desire. It does not thrill me in the least. But you think there are people who are sailors. They've been out in the deep, and they have been there, and I have seen pictures, which, again, I have no interest in actually experiencing this, where the waves are taller than the boat you are in. You're down at the bottom looking at this mountain of water that you're about to go up, or it's about to come crashing down on you. I have no desire for that. But they can go all the way around the world and touch nothing but water and have many adventures, of course, doing all of that. And he made all of that. And then we go beyond this world and we think about the moon. Men have been to the moon. And I have not much of a desire. I think it would be interesting, but I don't have much of a desire to travel to the moon. I'm quite fine staying right here. And then there's the planets. The nearest one is Mars. He created that. He created Venus and Mercury and, so Mars, what's next? Jupiter? Jupiter's next. Jupiter and Saturn and Uranus and Neptune, I'm not sure if I got the order right, and Pluto. My solar system includes Pluto. I don't care what the scientists say. It's just such a cool name. You got to keep it in, just for the name alone. All right, so anyway, the thing is, all of that he created, and the sun as well. He created that. And you think about that solar system now, okay, all of the things that orbit our sun, and that is just a hair's breadth of the entire universe. Think how big our planet is. Think how long it takes you to drive across the continent. And now think of the solar system, and it takes, really, they sent a ship out to, which one is it, Voyager? They took off in the 70s, I think it was. And it finally, just a couple years ago, got to the edge of the solar system. It's a humongous amount of space, and that's just a sliver of everything that's in the universe. And he created all of that. The scope of the suns. When we say all things, we mean all these physical things. But there is more to the universe than physical objects. There are the great spirit beings described in various passages. Isaiah describes them. Ezekiel describes them. The book of Revelation in particular describes them. These are the angels. Tremendous beings. Great power. He made them. There are indeed the powerful evil beings that people fear that plot against God and his people, and he made them. So when we say all things, we mean all these spiritual things as well. But there's more to the universe than a simple snapshot in time of all the physical and spiritual beings. If you were able to somehow create a photograph of the entire universe, right now, we would be, maybe a half a pixel on a dot in one corner of the universe, and somehow include all of the angels, all right? That is not all that our word is talking about. It says here, through whom also he made the world. That's what it says here in our text in Hebrews 1, verse 2. He made the world. But this word here for world is not cosmos. Cosmos is most frequently translated word meaning world. That means the ordered physical universe at any given time. So that would be that snapshot of the universe that I'm imagining we could take. You can't take it, but suppose you could get an exact representation of everything that is created at this moment in time. Well, that would be the cosmos. That would be the ordered creation. But the word here instead is ionos, often translated ages. Sometimes you'll see the preposition in or into put in front of that, into the ages. We translate that as forever. This has the idea of not just all that is, but everything that exists in all its stages of existence, all the ages, the whole universe in all its modes of existence through time. This is related to the idea expressed in Colossians 1:17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I have a quote here from Alvin McLean, in his great book, The Greatness of the Kingdom, he says, thus the writer of Hebrews, in a single term, ionos, unites the idea of the world existing in space with the idea of the world moving through time. No mean accomplishment. He creates all things. Everything depends on him. Every moment of time depends on him. Westcott points out in his commentary that Jesus is called the King of the Ages in 1 Timothy 1:17. It's in this phrase, now to the King Eternal. The King of the Ages. Now to the King of the Ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He is the creator of all things at all times. The scope of the Son's work in creation. Now finally, the place of creation in relation to the Son's exaltation. Perhaps the most important word in our phrase is this one. Also, through whom also he made the world. The commentaries say this is a concessive use of the word that is here. I was going to try to give a part of speech, but it fails me to remember what it is. It might be a conjunctive, but I can't remember. Anyway, they mean we are to take this in a more contrasting sense than in an adding sense. It's not, if you look at our text here, in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Not in the sense that in addition to being heir, he was also the creator of all things. No, not that way. He is the heir, and yet he is the creator. This brings up this idea. How can the Creator inherit what He created? All right? Well, the creation is and was His. He made it. But the creatures refused and rebelled, and it seems He lost it. Though He could have claimed it back in a millisecond and destroyed everything and everyone in it, it appears that he lost it. So the Son, who is God speaking to us, is now appointed again as heir of all things, even though he had already created all things. And he is created, he has made the heir, the Creator is made the heir because he has died to redeem all things. Our great Redeemer did not have to come to earth and die for our sins. He didn't have to do that. He would have been right to destroy the world for its sins. But instead, he died for the sins of the world and brought the world back, or bought the world back in a sense, from sin, and made it his own again, through whom also he made the world. Our great Savior. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace to us. We thank you for the gift of salvation that is provided for us by our Creator, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that as we celebrate the communion service, that your name would be glorified in our hearts, that we would truly love you, that we would honor you not only today, but every day of our lives. Keep working in us and helping us to fulfill your will in our world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.